This afternoon we open the Word of God in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, the verses 23 to 5, verse 12, and in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians chapter 3. So Matthew chapter 4, page 962 in our Pew Bible, 962. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 23, this is the word of God. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now we turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, page 1166. There we continue listening to the Word of God, where it says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So far, the reading of God's holy word. This afternoon, I may proclaim the word of God to you in the second petition, "Your kingdom come," and what we confess regarding it in Lord's Day 48 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 895 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnal, page 895. Lord's Day 48, where we echo the word of God as follows. What does the second petition mean? Your kingdom come, means, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. That's Lord's Day 48. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon, brothers and sisters, we continue to listen to Christ's prayer instruction. Your kingdom come is the second petition. As we have learned so far, prayer is asking God the Father, thankful that we may belong to him again. Prayer is believing in God our Father, thankful that we may live for him again in a life of faith. Prayer also is hoping, in thankful assurance that we have a Father who keeps his promises, as he so clearly proved in his gift of love in Jesus Christ. Then prayer is living with and for the Father, going for it, for that life with the Father, for that life of faith, for that life in Christ. Then you ask the Father what you need for your life with him, what he wants for you, what he seeks in you. We need to learn that. Christ taught us this. When you would ask people, beloved, what they want or what they need or what they live for or hope for, they'll tell you that they want to have a good job, a successful career, a good salary, and a satisfying life with much fun, pleasure, and enjoyable things to do. When you would wonder what we should ask God, what it is that we need for body and soul, they don't know. What do we ask God in the midst of a world that doesn't care for him, that doesn't need him? Then you need to listen to Christ's prayer instruction. He is God's Son, our Lord, who made known to us the Father, for he taught us. He also gave us the Spirit of God to help us live for God, to help us in a life of faith, to know what's important in that life. Then we have seen already, brothers and sisters, that the Father's name is important for us. We prayed that Father's honor and glory mean everything to us. We learned that we need to know God the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit rightly and live for him in a righteous life. We saw in Lord's Day 47. Now, we also learned that our Heavenly Father wants to be everything in every one of us. That's what we learn as we live our life in his kingdom, as citizens in a life of faith. That's where we as citizens share in all the benefits of Christ, our King, in that kingdom. That's how we experience the many blessings of belonging to God the Father in Christ. For what great difference it makes whether you live in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of light, whether you belong to the kingdom of the devil or to the kingdom of God. Now, if you thought that it would make a great difference that we may live here in Canada in freedom with all its blessings, rather than in a country like North Korea or China, then you should realize that this may be a difference of day and night at best. While the difference between living for the devil or for God is a difference between life and death. Well, as believers, we may share in all the blessings and benefits of a life of faith in the kingdom of God. Then you will be eager to know what that is like. And you want that life to be as good as it gets, or as perfect as it will get. Thus we learn to pray, "Your kingdom come." Hence I proclaim God's word, "Father, help us live by faith in your kingdom." We see first the nature of that life, secondly the struggle for that life, and thirdly, the future in that life. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. Father, help us live by faith in your kingdom. We see the nature of that life, the struggle for that life, and the future in that life. So first of all, the nature of that life. When the Lord Jesus began his work in Israel, brothers and sisters, he proclaimed the kingdom of God everywhere. In his Sermon on the Mount, we hear and see him do so, preaching the message to seek God's kingdom and its righteousness. And all that we need, like food, drink, clothing, will be given us as well. He also says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then he adds as well, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon," money. So, what are we living for? That is the question we have to answer in response to his message. What is it that determines your life, incites you, moves you, motivates you? Your life of faith is not a matter of making money, of good food, nice clothes, beautiful house, pool, cars, trips, etc. That should not control us, but something else should. So that's the point this afternoon too. Who or what determines our life? And what is it that should rule our life? Just as we have seen so far in Christ's prayer instruction, beloved, the Lord Jesus teaches us that we together and each one personally have a living relationship with our Heavenly Father. There is an intimate relationship between Father and children. We are just like the Son of God, who was and is at the bosom of the Father, and just like him, we are his children. That's why we learned last time that Father's name should be important to us so that we would honor and glorify him in our life of faith. We learn to pray, "Hallowed be your name." Then we must see today that in that relationship, we also want to submit to the Father, to the will of the Father, just like Christ did. He said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." In a good relationship, that's what happens. Just like we see that in a marriage, for instance. You reckon with each other. You consider the other. And you influence one another. That's how we want in the relationship with the Heavenly Father too. We give ourselves to him with heart and soul because he is everything to us. That's what the Lord Jesus preached about, which he called, in one word, the kingdom of God. Then it's so wonderful, beloved, to see in our scripture passage that Christ proclaimed the kingdom of God in conjunction with this life of ours. He proclaimed the kingdom and he healed the sick and handicapped everywhere. They belong together because he came to save life, to heal life, and restore life. The Lord Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near, and he showed at the same time how true that is, how real, and how much it determines our life here and now already. Yes, and then we ask, for whom is that kingdom of God? Well, it's for those citizens who are poor in spirit, the humble, who know they need salvation from sin and misery, the meek, the merciful, the ones who seek its righteousness, hungry and thirsty as they are for it. It's for the pure in heart and the peacemakers. It's for people who are mocked, scorned, slandered, and persecuted, for they don't retaliate and get their way high-handedly, but they wait for God. When you listen to the Lord Jesus that way, beloved, you see that you find God with him. Jesus is God, God on earth. He shows who God is, a God of love and grace, a God who delivers the poor, who seeks the enemies, and who offers peace to rebels. And as Paul shows in Colossians chapter 3, when you receive the peace from the hands of Jesus and his peace rules your life, is the referee in your heart, then you are thankful. Then everything is good. You're looked after and you know what you are living for. Then you are heir to eternal life as well. That's how you become citizen in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ in a life of faith. Yes, let's observe that in the first place. That's not in your way, by your standards, or in accordance with your will, but in Christ, by him alone. Hence you pray, beloved, your kingdom come, that is, help us, Father, to see that life of faith, that life for you, become reality in our life. Or as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. How you do that? Submit to God more and more? Kiss the Son. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. Or as we confess in the Belgian Confession, Article 22, we believe that for us to acquire the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Spirit kindles in our hearts a true faith. This faith embraces Jesus Christ with all his merits, makes him our own, and no longer looks for anything apart from him. You hear that? Nothing apart from him, from Jesus Christ. Only if he is everything to you and you don't need anything beside him will you be ruled by God's word and spirit. And if you need more, if you need it according to your own desire, you are a rebel. For as we also confess in Article 22, in Christ you have everything for your salvation, for your blessedness, for your happiness. In Christ you have peace with God and the true joy of a life of faith here and now. And you have eternal life. That's the nature of this life of faith, our first point. Then secondly, the struggle for this life of faith. Well, that's a strong expression, brothers and sisters. Rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Do we have to pray for that? Can't we do this? Or aren't we doing so already? We are Christians, right? Who are living for God naturally. Well, no. No, we do have to pray for it, for we are not able to submit ourselves to God the Father. We don't submit easily at all, actually. In our hearts, I mean. We are still stuck very much in the original rebellion and haughtiness, which makes us think that we can do it our way. As you will recall, this is what the Lord wanted of his people Israel right away. In the times of Moses or Samuel, he wanted to be king for them, different than the other nations, uniquely. He wanted to rule them by his word, just as he still wants to do with us today. Then you should examine yourself this afternoon and ask yourself, so how close am I to that word? How intimately do I know that word? And how seriously do I study that word? No, then I don't mean to ask you whether you are actually reading a piece every day. Rule us by that word. That means reading it to know what the Father wants me to do, what he means my life of faith to be. So it should be our prayer, beloved, for the Father's help in living our life of faith. Rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. Then you may want to fill in that word for yourself. We want God and his word to rule over the upbringing we give our children, over our time management, over our entertainment, over our Sunday practices, over our relationship as engaged couple, over our calling to have children for the Lord, godly offspring, over our faithfulness to others, our treatment of others, over our attitude towards our enemies, etc. You may pray for that concretely. Help me, Father, to listen to your word as it is proclaimed from Sunday to Sunday, and help me implement it in my life. Follow it up in obedience. Work it out with my attitude, my conduct, in my daily walk with my Heavenly Father. You know, in my introduction of this sermon, brothers and sisters, I made the comparison between Canada and North Korea. And I said that the lives of the citizens in these two countries differ like day and night. In North Korea, there is poverty, famine, oppression, and persecution. It's one of those countries in which terror reigns. In Canada, we enjoy freedom, prosperity, and security. Yet, as I added, that still doesn't compare to the difference between the kingdom of darkness of the devil and the kingdom of light of God. It's a difference between life and death. Now, you could say, of course, that comparing Canada with North Korea, that's comparing two extremes. While there are other countries like China or Iraq and the like where it's not quite as bad. In other words, there are different degrees of freedom and prosperity among the nations. In the case of the kingdom of the devil and of God, however, there are no such degrees of differences. It's either or. If you are not a citizen of the kingdom of God, you are a citizen in the kingdom of the devil. The one is the kingdom of life, the other of death. Yes, it is possible, actually, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God while living in North Korea. While you could be a citizen of the kingdom of the devil while living in Canada. That is, you can be alive in North Korea and dead in Canada. That all depends how you are living where you are. It's important to think, beloved, about that difference between life and death, between the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God. In people's daily lives, this kingdom of the devil is often experienced as a pretty nice kingdom. Its entertainment is exciting, pleasurable, and lots of fun, while many will find a life in the kingdom of God boring, dull, and not exciting at all. I mean, who cares about peace with God if you can have instant happiness and satisfaction here and now? Big deal that God is your Father. What does that bring me while a life of money, of sex, and of fun in this world is much more attractive? Who cares about the life after this life? Let's eat and drink and be merry. We can care about the life hereafter later. You see, beloved, that's the kind of spirit of the lie that lives in us and among us. That's the lie by which Satan manipulated us right from the beginning, making us think that this life isn't that bad, really. Just like it can be so striking that people in a communist country don't think their life to be so bad at all. That's what this man in the store told me too. Coming from Armenia, he said that the days of the communists were better than the days of corruption now. And we know about the people of North Korea too, how there was a national outpouring of grief and sorrow when their ruler, the father of the present ruler, died. Even though he had been a despot, a tyrant, he learned it from the devil himself, how to manipulate people with a little bit of the truth to make them follow the lie. In the same way, the devil makes the millions believe today how much nicer life is when you have money, when you can live as you please, or when you throw your power and position around among people. Carpe diem, live it up. The reality of an eternity in hell is in the small print of the constitution of the kingdom of the devil. Who cares about that today when you don't feel any of it yet? In other words, beloved, boys and girls, young people, the struggle for the life of faith is a real struggle. Can the kingdom of God compete with the kingdom of the devil? Can faith compete with fun? Well, it sure can, But then you will have to look at the reality of this world differently. And then you will have to tune in to a different channel than the one of the devil and his propaganda of evil and the lie. You will have to get past that instant kick of the pleasures of this world and the devil's sense of freedom and fun. Then you will have to fight. Yes, this struggle requires a fight against the devil and his kingdom, a fight also against yourself, against your own inclinations, interests, and influences. That's why the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come. Claim us by your power of grace, joy, and peace, that they may light up our life. Fill us with the joy of a life with you and for you and for the love you show to us. Make us humble, meek, merciful, pure, righteous, and peacemakers. And make us hunger and thirst for righteousness more and more. Grant us to inherit your kingdom in words and in deeds." And so we look at the future in that life. In the midst of this struggle, brothers and sisters, we also learn to turn our attention to the future. We realize that with all the help of God the Father in this world, his kingdom won't break through as much and as powerfully as it will be on the new earth. We may be heirs, but we should realize that the kingdom of God is also called the kingdom of heaven quite often. The Apostle Paul in our scripture passage in the letter to the Philippians shows us how hard this life as citizens is here, especially when you see that there are citizens who are confused about this new life and who confuse others with their way of life. They live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They live as if their peace and freedom in Christ are a license to indulge in gluttony, a hedonistic life, a combination, if you will, of this earthly life of lust and pleasure with the life of faith. That's impossible. Forget about seeking it here, seeking it in the pleasures of the earth. Seek the things that are above. Your citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek his kingdom and its righteousness. When the Lord Jesus preached the kingdom of God, beloved, and he showed his followers what a life in that kingdom will be like eventually, he did so to help you live in hope, to help you live by faith. When he returns, he will take along everything you may not receive or have received here on earth. Are you sick today? Weak, ailing, suffering from cancer, from dementia, from MS, autism? And would you like to be normal and healthy again? You are heir. What you are suffering today is for a short time only. Your suffering here and now cannot be compared to the glory that has been revealed. Our Savior is coming with health and strength, with restoration and glory, with treasures and gifts. Whatever your struggle may have been here to make ends meet, there you won't have to worry. There will be abundance, riches. Don't be jealous or envious of what the people in the world have today. You will be amazed at what your king is bringing along that you will enjoy in his kingdom from heaven. Incredible. And are you longing for a deeper relationship with the Father? More of His warmth, His love, and more of His Holy Spirit? Well, hold your breath and wait till the Lord returns, and the perfection of His kingdom will be breathtaking. God will be all in all, everything in everyone. Amen. Let us respond by turning to number 281. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King.